بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Again, we are still on verse number 30 of Surah Al-Baqarah. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. And this interesting story, this is the story of human beings, the start of the human being's journey on earth, as told by the Creator Himself. Very interesting story. So let's continue from wherever we left last time.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us this hint of conversation with angels for two purposes, or even there could be more than one purpose, because this is the beauty of Quran. The more you dig and analyze a verse, you see that the verse is just giving you more and more information. I've just told you the pedagogical and the conveying of knowledge through dialogue is very evident in this verse. But also, Allah is teaching us that in such serious matters, important matters, strategic matters, engage with your people, with your community. Spread the knowledge, engage with them, discuss the matters with them, and then proceed. This is something that Allah is teaching us through this conversation as well. And this is something that the Prophet ﷺ used to do always. And we can read verse 159 of Surah Al Imran, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. The Prophet ﷺ used to assemble his Sahaba before taking a decision, seek their decision. Although Prophet ﷺ is aided by revelation and knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he could just come and be like a dictator. Today we are going this, today we are going to do that. No. Prophet ﷺ is assembling the Sahaba, discussing the matter, making things clear. So all the populations, all those who are surrounding, they are aware of the situation. It is not something imposing on them. It is revealing the objective, them having the opportunity to conversate. And you see, this is the quality of Khalifa actually. The Khalifa is never someone who sits in a very high position and dictates orders. No. Khalifa is one of those among the community. He's a brother to them, and they feel this brotherhood, and they feel that there are no barriers. They can ask questions, and the Khalifa need to answer the questions and answer back and engage in a dialogue until everybody is happy, and then proceed. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. The Khalifa makes these consultations, question, answer, everything is okay, and then he proceeds with a decision. So he has this decisiveness, but at the same time he has the community and the purpose and the sharing of the knowledge and all these things. You see how this fine blend of seriousness, but at the same time softness, consultation is blended here. So this gives us the leadership quality of the Khalifa as well in this verse. إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. So why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ. The word رَبُّكَ also, everything in the Quran, every single word has a purpose and has a significance of choosing that word instead of any another word. Why Allah didn't say وَإِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَعَلَهُ وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ. And also not رَبُّكَ. رَبُّكَ means your Lord, O Muhammad. Your Rabb, O Muhammad. It could said وَإِذْ قَالَ الرَّبُّ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ. The Lord said. Why it's ka, O Muhammad. Okay. So everything you have to ask question and ponder and think and analyze and see the purpose. Why? one word cannot replace the another word in the Quran. Okay? So these things are open questions to us. But some of the things we can say here is that the Rabb has the meaning of someone as a sustainer, someone who has this purpose of compassionate, that he has to grow someone from zero until he brings him to a high position. These meanings is very much inbuilt in the Rabb. That's why this is the most favorite name we use in our dua. Ya Rabb, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb. Okay, we say Rabb. Instead of we say Ya Allah or other names, we say Rabb. So Allah is borrowing or using that same name to show us that He is merciful to us. Rabbuka lil malaika. Allah is creating us. There is no hostile relationship between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mythology of Greeks and all their titans and these things, there is a hostile relationship and between the gods and also God and the man and these things. No, this is our Rabb. And we have seen this in detail when we discuss Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ. And also here, Allah is adding it, the pronoun, to the best of mankind. So just to add the majesty and the nobleness of this event, Allah is using all these linguistic terms. Because this is not a simple event. This is our journey on earth, the human history's point number zero, the most noble point. So let there be all type of celebrations, linguistic celebration, stylistic celebration to convey this story to us. So let's take this story very seriously and feel happy with it and feel proud of it and be responsible and accountable for this celebration. So here is the Rabb, the best title that Allah is using to indicate His mercifulness and wisdom and growing someone from zero and adding it to the best of mankind, which is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who has brought this Quran through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and us as the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who will be the ultimate Khalifa in this earth. They will continue to fulfill the job of Khalifa, because all other nations surrounding them, they would forget their purpose on earth. So the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are the one who is carrying this light in the middle of this darkness. Rabbuka. So let's try to understand all the significance from this term. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. So we have seen in this first segment of the verse all this amazing meanings and lessons and beauties that we just tried to scratch the surface from this verse. We'll continue with the second part of this verse. قَالُوا وَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا. What did the angels say? Why did they say it? And finally, what was the response of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?